Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks very much for joining us, everybody. A pleasure to have you here on Close Up Radio. Also a pleasure to welcome, as we spotlight, Joanne Daniels of Trade Resources and Associates. The president and founder of Trade Resources and Associates, with over 25 years of experience. She's a leading consultant, an expert witness in international trade and customs, export control, as well as logistics, trucking, and transportation. Also, Joanne's professional consulting is a result of all her years of experience working in international trade and logistics and the trucking industries. Lawyers needing an expert witness in any of these different specialties, they contact Joanne for her expert opinion in matters related to any of these specific matters, any one of them. Over the years, Joanne has developed a professional client base that requires her expert consulting service. Joanne's first opportunity to provide expert testimony was when she worked for her employer. She discovered she enjoyed the work so much, it kind of led her to learn how to develop as an expert witness and to also develop her practice. For most of her life, Joanne has had a fondness for English literature and traveling. Her interest in international travel has led her to become a cargo sales representative for an international airline. This job eventually led her into working for an express carrier, which transitioned her into learning more about import and export laws. Joanne was not just managing the operations of shipping and transportation, but she was gaining knowledge of import and export regulations. She was exposed to learning more about the U.S. and international laws, which are very complex since each country adheres to its own regulations. She says it's good to do something that you love and then to know you're making a difference in the world. That's the best thing, to have passion for what you do, and Joanne absolutely does. She's in Stevenson, California, and it's our pleasure to welcome her to Close Up Radio for the next 30 minutes for this fascinating and insightful conversation on our show. Joanne, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to meet you today and your audience.
You're very welcome. Looking forward to our 30-minute conversation and fascinated by what you do and love to find out what inspired you, you know, in your own life's journey. What are some of the things that pointed you in the direction of doing this work and inspired you to become a consultant and an export witness in customs and export control?
Well, as you had stated in my bio, I was an English major, and at the time I looked for work to teach. And because I enjoy teaching it as well as English literature, but I also enjoy traveling. And so as it turned out, I was able to get hired by an international airline, which I thought would be great because then I could fly to international countries like Singapore and Hong Kong and places like that. And so I did that for a few years. And then I had the opportunity to be hired by an express carrier, you know, like a UPS, DHL, like that. And that was at the very beginning of when they developed their business. And so I was managing the operations, but I also had the opportunity to learn all about the laws, how to import goods into the U.S. properly and lawfully, and how to export them, and then gradually learning about all the other countries that had to import, because as you said, they all have their own laws. So this was really fascinating to me. And then as the world changed, there were different conditions that led corporations to make sure that they were compliant, because then they couldn't make money if they were going to, you know, get fined if they broke the law in import and export in the U.S. or other countries. So they said that they had to hire their own people. And so that's where I stepped in, and I worked for a number of manufacturers in the U.S., mostly on the West Coast. And I really did love that as well. but there was an economic downturn, and this gave me the opportunity to start my own consulting. So I would go to, you know, companies that I knew, and I started with my own companies that I had worked for in the past. And I asked them if they needed help on things like customs audits, how to do classification, valuation, all of the things that you would need in order to be compliant with U.S. Customs. And so I really enjoyed that even more because it was very varied. And I was doing a service. I was mitigating penalties. I was developing corrective actions to close out audits. I was helping companies that had a violation to do a disclosure before they would be penalized. And that was a very good value add. And then an opportunity came up within one of my companies that I had known that before. It was a cable and headphone manufacturer. And I was deposed. And I was asked to explain about the import process of our company. And I really enjoyed that role of the expert witness, being deposed by an attorney, being asked about what I do because I was the expert at that company in import. And so then I decided to go and learn about it, to go to expert witness organizations, to go to conferences. I really was very much impassioned to start up my own business and then grow into a successful expert witness.
That's fantastic. That's a great way to have done it, too. I mean, what do you think, you know, there's a lot of different people out there do a lot of different things. What do you think separates you from other consultants and expert witnesses that might be out there?
Well, that's a really good question. And what I have been told is that my background and experience, and what I am is a licensed customs broker, so I do know the law in import and export in the U.S., knowing export control laws out of the U.S. But I also, because I worked in the express carrier business and also freight forwarders and custom brokers, I know logistics, and I also know the trucking business. And there aren't that many experts that have that similar background that I have, especially in California, and that's what I've been told.
That is terrific. And, you know, when you really look at it all, a lot of times there are students who are interested in becoming an expert witness, too. And I'm sure you probably provide advice. Well, what advice would you give to a student who's, you know, looking at pursuing this line of work?
Well, I have mentored a lot of young people when I worked in corporations and also as a consultant. And so what I would say is that the student or the person who's new in the industry would learn the field. They would be an expert in the field. They would build up their expertise. And once they have this expertise and they are best in class in their field, then, you know, get their name out. Write articles, volunteer to do speaking engagements, maybe do lunch and learns with attorneys who are interested in the particular experience and expertise that this person might have. For example, let's say you're an engineer, and some attorneys are needing engineers, structural engineers, or somebody might be an expert in art appraisals. And even there's people out there, and not many, who are cosmetologists that know about hair and things like that, skin. And so in case somebody was damaged by a cosmetologist, they would hire an expert cosmetologist who could speak to and opine on what is the best practice in that field. So that's what I would tell them.
You know, you've got so many cases you've worked on, Joanne. I would imagine sometimes it's hard to even pick one or two, but is there a particular case that stands out for you that's had a positive impact on your business?
Yes, I think I've had a lot that I really, think impacted, but one in particular was a company, it was an insurance company, and they asked myself and also my associate to, first we had to write an expert report once we had developed our, what we thought was calculating in, our analysis. It found, and then we had to write a report. So we looked at what was the reasonableness of the methodology for calculating global trade, ocean, and air freight claims. And this was a large class action. And we actually worked on it over 2 years. We started writing the expert report 1 year, and there was a number of companies that were all logistics companies that were involved in it, and also huge shippers, very large shippers that you might know the common, you know, large name. And so they were going to the shippers and saying that they did something that they shouldn't, and so they were putting in claims against these companies. It was enormous amount of claims. And so what we were asked is, in order to be able to validate the claims that the company was going to pay out, could we please review all of the information and provide a methodology on whether this was reasonable in terms of paying out the claims. So as I said, then we went into the next phase the next year with another particular in Asia on all of those freight forwarders and those shippers in Asia. So it was very fascinating and rewarding for us.
Mm, that's fantastic. That's really amazing when you think about that and just the opportunity to leave that positive impact in that way. You know, you also, some of the publications and topics that you have are extraordinary for people to really sort of dig into. Tell us about some of your publications and the topics that they cover specifically.
Well, some of them I have on my blog, on my website, Trade Resources, and I wrote about things that would affect the trade practitioner in import and export. So that's mostly what my focus has been. For example, when the sanctions came down on Ukraine and Russia, companies needed to know guidance on how to go into their company, look at who their customers were, who their end users were, what their products were, and be able to put some kind of process in place that would help their company from doing inadvertent violations of export law. So, and they don't want to have export violations because in some cases it's $1 million or it might be $250,000 per violation. So companies really want to invest in a trade practitioner, a consultant, someone who will give them guidance. And so I was asked to do a speaking engagement on that. And in other cases, as you probably know, there was NAFTA between U.S., Canada, and Mexico that changed to the USMCA, U.S. and Mexico and Canada. And so companies needed guidance on how to work with this new agreement, take advantage of it, what was out there, and it was dependent upon different agencies. And so I did a presentation on what were the rules and how to take advantage of them, or what are the things you should watch out for so you don't violate the rules. And so that was some of the different things that I wrote about and also that were on my website. And that's also, I would say that there were some other topics as well. I was actually interviewed by a publication called Inbound Logistics to talk about products coming into the country and what were some of the issues involved in it. For example, when the as you know, with COVID, some of the travel was with the ocean vessels was very slow. And then when they came in to the port of Long Beach, they were all backlogged. And this had happened before. And so, you know, I talked about that. I talked about some of the customs laws that especially will have effects on an importer, such as the, something like products that were counterfeit, because I had experience with that where my product at a certain company was counterfeited. And so, you know, how to protect your product from being counterfeited, and also to talk to customs about different products and making sure that they know what your product is, the genuine product, and it's not counterfeited. So customs has a lot of laws having to do that too. So those are some of the things that I discussed with and were put into, published in Down Logistics.
In your experience, Joanne, what are some of the key elements that you noticed in the different countries with import and export regulations?
Yes. Well, most countries are harmonized with the U.S. For example, with the products, they have the harmonized tariff. And so the harmonized tariff is to be able to give descriptions about the products and then what the duty is going to be. And then also sometimes they also have laws about what goods are prohibited. And so those are pretty standard, but each country might have a difference in that. And also, of course, the calculations of duty might be different. Some cases it's a lot more, I would say, difficult to be able to plan on. Cases like Brazil, if companies are going to be entering into importing into Brazil, they really have to pay attention because there's a lot of rules that could hang up their goods. And also there's a lot of different duties that can be applied that are not similar in the U.S. For example, in terms of things that could go wrong, there was, when I worked in industry, I had a person who wanted to ship their just their computer because they were an accountant and they were going to Brazil. And so instead of hand carrying their computer, they shipped it. Well, because of the rules in Brazil that they weren't aware of, that shipment of their computer was held up in customs in Brazil for an entire year. So the person was there for a year. By the time they were leaving, that's when their computer was finally released. There's things like where you have in China, for example, where they won't take equipment that is already used. They only want new equipment. If you're going to be shipping something that's used, there's so many hoops that you have to jump into. And also in terms of the penalties, the U.S., as I said before, has penalties for violating the laws in commerce, which is what we call the dual-use laws. But then there's the defense articles. And in some cases, besides the penalties, a person could actually go to jail. Well, in other countries like China, they could go to jail for their entire life. So each country has their own rules in terms of what the violations is, when it's something is a violation in the U.S., what they do have a mechanism so that if companies have made an inadvertent mistake, they can go to the government and then they can write a letter, and it's called a voluntary disclosure, and they can tell them what were the circumstances of the violation, and they can ask for forgiveness in so many ways that you can say that you've done this, you are an upstanding company, you did it, you know, by mistake. It was a clerical error. And you have a very solid export program because you have an export practitioner that you hired. You hired a consultant to help with that to make sure that your program is very strong and it won't happen again. In many cases, then, the government will just give a warning, whether it's the state regarding a defense article or dual use regarding the Bureau of Industry and Security. So it all depends. But the primary reason that you are doing this is to protect your company, protect the employees, because the employees could also go to jail and also get, penalized individually, not just the corporations. And some other things like hand carries, for instance. A lot of companies, they have something so urgent they can't even ship it. So they'll buy an engineer a ticket and they'll say, okay, you go to China with your product. Well, they have to be very careful because they have to follow the rules to export out of the U.S. and the rules importing into China. And in cases that I've seen where they might go to Europe to a trade show or whatever, they don't follow that. They may not talk to their trade practitioner. And they could end up in jail, but most of the time the product is confiscated. And then sometimes they can get it back if they can get a specialist, which is the customs broker like myself, in another country to help them pay any duties or taxes or to make a declaration if it might be duty-free. So they have to be knowledgeable, and you don't want one of your employees to go to jail because they kind of went around the system, the company's system and company rules.
Very smart advice. Very, very smart. I hope people are paying heed for that and really paying attention to that. What are some other examples of the actual work, some relatable examples of the work that you do that you could share with us?
Certainly. Well, I can think of one case that I was pulled into, and it was a challenging case because it was a trucking accident. And it wasn't a simple trucking accident because there was a shipper, which is, you know, a company that makes the product. And then they hired a trucking firm who then hired another trucking firm, and that's called brokerage. And so in this case, the company that hired the other company really didn't do their due diligence in hiring the company. The driver had some issues and really shouldn't have been on the road. And there was a terrible accident. There was some injuries. Someone died. And so I wasn't the expert. There were a number of experts in this case. I was the only talked about the shipper's side of it rather than the trucking side of it. And or maybe the negligence. I didn't speak to that. I opined on the shipper's degree of reasonable care when they selected and they were hiring the transportation carrier and the brokers, the secondary broker. So it was a very challenging case, but it was resolved. So that was something that that I can really, I'll always remember.
That's
would you like to hear about another one?
Yeah, I would love to, yeah.
All right. Well, there was another case where there was a company that was a foreign company, but they were operating in the U.S., and they were relying on their freight forwarder and their customs broker to help them, even though they are the responsible party with U.S. Customs and Border Protection, but they were relying on the expertise of the freight forwarder that they chose. But as it turned out, there was some negligence there, and they were paying duties. It was set up so they could pay duties direct, but at the same time, the freight forwarder was also charging duties, and it was a duplicate effort there. And the company didn't find that out until it was really far into that, where they were out thousands and thousands of dollars. And then there was some issue with the company staying solvent. And so I was called in on this particular case because I was to analyze the customs broker's responsibility in exercising responsible supervision and control, because that is part of the customs broker requirement in order to be a customs broker and to retain your license. And so I reviewed and analyzed all of the documents that was given to me. I reviewed the depositions of some of the people, including the customs broker, the CEO of the company, and others that were involved. And then once then I was able to then determine, you know, what I thought was, and I had enough basis for that, that I was able to then know that I had made a determination and I could write a report based on that. So I can't give an opinion until I've completed all my entire investigation and reviewed all the records that I have. And so once I had done that and investigated and analyzed, then I made a determination, what this is my opinion, and then I wrote a report for the attorney who could then give it to their client. And so that also was something that was very satisfying to me. It was pretty much an intense case, and I really enjoyed working with the attorney.
You know, the services that you provide are quite extensive, and everything from expert witness reports and testimony to export compliance, customs compliance, supply chain security and logistics, learning about trade terminology as well. Tell us a little bit about when you're dealing with a client for the very first time. What is some of the process in the beginning? What are some of the things? Are you doing an assessment? What are some of the things you do initially in the beginning when you're working with a client for the first time?
Certainly. I will get a call. Sometimes it's from an attorney, and they might get my name because I'm advertising and marketing, as I said, but sometimes they just do a Google search, and they come up on my website, and they see, you know, these are my particular areas of expertise, and they'll call me up cold, or sometimes I'll go through a third party, and that third party will make a referral to me, so I work through both processes. So the attorney will tell me a bit about the case. Sometimes they'll give me a copy of the complaint, which is, you know, what happened, so I know exactly between the parties what happened. I have to determine if I have any conflict of interest in case I work for one of those parties, and then I can't, you know, go on forward with the case. So once I understand that, then the attorney will say, you know, do you think you can opine on such and such? And after that information, you know, then I can say yes. You know, based on what I know so far, yes, I can opine on this particular matter. And then they start sending me documents depending on what part of the case they're on. If maybe they just have some documents, they'll send me a whole Dropbox full of documents, and I'll start working, especially if there's depositions from other parties, you know, people who are employed. Let's say there's an accident. And, you know, they'll give their side of what happened, of what their involvement is. And I will start to read all of these. I'll look at all the email chains. They'll send me emails of different things. They'll send me documents. In the case of, you know, when I talked about the custom brokerage, they send me all of these documents besides all the emails, besides all the depositions. So there's a lot of work in reading things, analyzing it. And then based on that, then I would come up with an opinion. In some cases, the attorney's not really sure which way to go. So they might then say, we just want to engage you as a consultant first and then decide if we want to move forward. Because perhaps when I'm researching this, I might come up and say to them, you know, this case I can't opine because of such and such reason. And there was one case that I didn't actually take, and perhaps I could have to help the attorney decide on the case, but it was a person who called me up, and they were going to go to jail because they had shipped out some products, and the product, instead of going to the destination, was then sent to Iran. And he said, the person who was going to go to jail, had told me and his attorney that it was just a matter of routing, that that's why it ended up there. But based on the information that I could see, this was a case that actually the Bureau of Industry and Security had on their site. So I had the opportunity to read about it. And so I just knew that based on that information, I would not be able to opine and say that this was just a matter of a shipping error, that it ended up there. There was more information. And so that's where I might come into a consultative side before I was actually hired as an expert.
The website, folks, yeah, it really does, absolutely. And thanks for laying it out that way, in that succinct way. The website for the listeners is www.trade-resources.com. That's trade and then dash or hyphen, resources.com, to connect with our very special guest, president and founder of Trade Resources and Associates, Joanne Daniels. Joanne, thanks for joining us on the show, the half hour. You know, once we get going, they slide by in a New York minute, but it was really terrific, great content, great relatability, and packed with really good, useful information for our audience. So we thank you for that.
Well, Jim, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Best of the holidays to you as well, and your entire team and your family, and hope we get a chance to explore some more down the line. That would be a real pleasure, Joanne.
Oh, same for me. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care and be well. Again, folks, here is that website, trade and then dash or hyphen, resources.com, to connect with Joanne Daniels of Trade Resources and Associates. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. I'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest to celebrate right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening. and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.